Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, November 6th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the book of Acts, chapter 13. We'll be reading Psalm 8 and Ezra, chapter 10, verses 1 through 17. In Acts today, we are reading chapter 3, verse 13 through verse 43. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the Law and the Prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement to the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not the one, but no, he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.' Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for the death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have become your father.' The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessing promised to David.' So it is stated elsewhere, 'You will not let your Holy One see decay.' For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. And now let's turn over to the book of Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm number 8. The subscript of this psalm says this, "For the director of music, according to Gittith, a psalm of David." Now, my Bible has this note that Gittith was probably a musical term, but we really do not know. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and the beast of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swims the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I love this psalm because it reminds us that we are often led in worship by children. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. It brings me no greater joy than to hear my children singing songs about Jesus. One of May's favorites right now is "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty." And in the first service tomorrow in worship, we will be led by the first through third grade choirs in praise of our God and King. And so I just thank the Lord for this psalm and this reminder that He is majestic, that He is worthy of all praise, that in an anxious time, He is not anxious. He is our Creator and He is our Provider. Okay, let's move over now to the book of Ezra. We are really making our way through. We're in the last chapter of Ezra chapter 10, and we're going to split this up over 2 days. And so today we will read Ezra 10, 1 through 17. The title in my Bible says, "The People's Confession of Sin." While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men, women, and children, gathered around him. They too wept bitterly. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women from the peoples around us. But in spite of this, there is still hope for Israel. Now let us make a covenant before our God to send away all these women and their children, in accordance with the counsel of my Lord and of those who fear the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the law. Rise up, this matter is in your hands. We will support you, so take courage and do it." So Ezra rose up and put the leading priests and Levites and all Israel under oath to do what had been suggested. And they took the oath. Then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. While he was there, he ate no food and drank no water, because he continued to mourn over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. A proclamation was then issued throughout Judah and Jerusalem for all the exiles to assemble in Jerusalem. Anyone who failed to appear within 3 days would forfeit all his property, in accordance with the decision of the officials and elders, and would himself be expelled from the assembly of the exiles. Within the 3 days, all the men of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem, and on the 12th day of the 9th month, all the people were sitting in the square before the house of God, greatly distressed by the occasion and because of the rain. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, "You have been unfaithful. You have married foreign women, adding to Israel's guilt. Now make confession to the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do his will. Separate yourselves from the people around you and from your foreign wives." The whole assembly responded with a loud voice, "You are right. We must do as you say. But there are many people here, and it is rainy season, so we cannot stand outside. Besides, this matter cannot be taken care of in a day or two, because we have sinned greatly in this thing. Let our officials act for the whole assembly. Then let everyone in our towns who has married a foreign woman come at a set time, along with the elders and judges of each town, until the fierce anger of our God in this matter are turned away from us." Only Jonathan, son of Asahel, and Josiah, son of Tikvah, supported by Meshulam and Shebathiah the Levite, opposed this. So the exiles did as was proposed. Ezra the priest selected men who were family heads, one from each family division, and all of them designated by name. On the first day of the 10th month, they sat down to investigate the cases. And by the first day of the 1st month, they finished dealing with all the men who had married foreign women. Before we move on, I just want to comment a little bit on what's going on here in Ezra. Ezra is very grieved because these exiles who have come back and are beginning again after desolation, they have started to take on more of the detestable practices that got them into exile in the first place. It says in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 14, "Shall we again break your commands and intermarry with the peoples who commit such detestable practices?" Now, it's important to note here that it's not just that the people are marrying foreign women. It's not that. It's the fact that they have detestable idol worship in their hearts. This is what led Solomon astray. It was the women and all their foreign gods and the idols. And this is what will lead astray these exiles who have returned. And Ezra is so grieved because he's like, "Man, we have a good start. Now you guys are breaking the law of God by marrying people who do not follow our God." We need to read this story in conjunction with the book of Ruth, which I'm happening to teach tomorrow in Sunday school. Ruth was a Moabite. Remember the story of Naomi? They had to leave the land of Israel because of famine. They went to Moab, and Naomi's sons married Moabite women. But then all the men died, and Naomi decides to go back to the land of Bethlehem. But in this story, it's different. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, he marries Ruth, and she follows the one true God. And so that's an important distinction here. And as we see in the book of Ruth, she becomes the great-grandmother of David. And we know that David is the forefather of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful story of redemption that can happen even in us Gentiles. And so that's important. But here they are marrying pagan wives, and they're taking on the practices of these pagan people. And Ezra is so grieved by this because God calls us as his people to live in a way that lines up with his law. That is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to this passage, but I want us to move on into a time of prayer, a time where we call out to the Lord together collectively for His grace and His mercy. Praise befits you, O Lord. We come before you knowing that we are not worthy, but also knowing that we are welcomed. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to gather together before you to remind ourselves of who you are, that you are majestic and worthy of praise. Thank you, Lord, for the children in our lives that remind us of this great fact. And tomorrow, may your name be praised by them in our worship service together. Thank you, Lord, for the little ways that you show us throughout the day that you are present with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are not anxious, even when we are, and you call us to trust in you because you are sovereign and you are loving. We pray, Lord, that the work that you have begun in us, you will bring to completion, and you will continue to do that work and make us wise, make us people of faith and faithful as well. Lord, we pray that this day would be one in which your name is praised, and may that praise begin with us. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.